scripture reading, for our first scripture reading, taken from the book of Lamentations in the Old Testament, chapter 3, verses 22 to 33. Lamentations 3, verse 22 to 33. Listen for the word of the Lord. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him to the soul that seeks him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul that seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for one to bear the yoke in youth, to sit alone in silence when the Lord has imposed it, to put one's mouth to the dust, there may yet be hope, to give one's cheek to the smiter and be filled with insults. Reject forever, for the Lord will not reject forever. Although he causes grief, he will have compassion according to the abundance of his steadfast love. For he does not willingly afflict or grieve anyone. The word of the Lord.
Our scripture reading for this morning from the Gospel is taken from Mark 5, verse 21 until the end of the chapter, which is 43. May I ask, please stand for the reading if you are able. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered around him, and he was by the sea. Then one of the leaders of the synagogue, named Jairus, came, and when he saw him, fell at his feet and begged him repeatedly, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." So he went with him. And a large crowd followed him and pressed in on him. And now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. She had endured much under many physicians and had spent all that she had. And she was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. For she said, "If I touch his clothes, I will be made well." Immediately her hemorrhage stopped, and she felt at her body that she was healed of her disease. Immediately aware the power had gone forth from him, Jesus turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you. How can you say, 'Who touched me?'" He looked all around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing that had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, fell down before him and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." While he was still speaking, some people came from the leader's house to say, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the leaders of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." He allowed no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the house of the leader of the synagogue, he saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. When he had entered, he said to them, "Why do you make commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. Then he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him, and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, get up." And immediately the girl got up and began to walk, about. She was 12 years of age. At this they were overcome with amazement. He strictly ordered them that no one should know this, and told them to give her something to eat. The word of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen.
Is this where I preach?
Yep.
Okay, I'm new here. Kind of feels like that. It feels like I'm brand new. This morning was all disrupted because I didn't know what time to get up, what time to get here, and got here, and things were all different than they normally are. It's been just unsettling. Pretty good first day so far, though. How am I doing? You're very kind. Thank you for those that filled in. Again, I want to tell you how great it is to know that you've got several great preachers. Mark does a great job. We're going to put Melba to work preaching some more. Wonderful stuff there. And thank you for deciding and making the commitment to take me on full time. It's a big decision, and it's a step, I'm sure, in the right direction for Burns. We're going to work hard to keep our budgets low, and we hope that you will work hard to increase your giving, that we might make those two come together. But you have Melissa and I's heartfelt thanks for being your pastoral family. I regret missing VBS. How many of you got to participate with the Vacation Bible School? It looked like it was pretty exciting. I got to see some pictures. There's a ship up here, the SS Bill. Bill Mitchell. Bittersweet. Celebrations, though. And it looked like it was awesome. And a number of people here were wonderful. So thank you to St. Stephanie, Captain Stephanie. I do need to check with you. Mark preached twice while I was gone. Is there anything I need to unteach you that he taught you? He didn't teach you anything strange at all, did he? Like, nothing about Muddites or anti-Muddites or anything? You know, it's interesting in this day and age. Everything's on tape. Everything's recorded. You're in trouble, buddy. Good sermons, good words, good directions. Muddites and anti-Muddites. That was a first for me, but I'm glad to have known it. We took vacation. And I wanted to just kick back and just be at ease. Comfort, just relax. That's the title of the sermon, Comfort. And I decided coming back I would just preach a comfortable sermon and just be relaxed. We were going to go to Grand Junction, and my niece said, "You are not 20 anymore, and no, you cannot sit in a car that long right now." So we didn't. We just stayed home and vegged out and did a staycation, and I drove Melissa nuts. So what has happened in the last 2 weeks while I was gone? What other things continued? Well, the drought appears to have continued. We had a couple of storms. We had a little bit of wind and about 8 drops of rain hit yesterday. Up north in Johnstown, it was going through there. I called my friend up there. I said, "Did you get hit?" And he said, "No, we just got wind and just a few drops of rain." But there are others who didn't fare as well. So in the last 2 weeks, what else? Storms in our country, storms in our government, storms in our world, somebody said. Storms in Dawn's comment, today's hymn. We need that more than ever indeed. But I'm on comfort mode. This is relaxed, coming back from vacation. And I get a honeymoon. When you have a new pastor, they're on a honeymoon. Do I get a honeymoon here? I knew you were going to say that. Should have not asked at all. Last Sunday, I went to Park Hill United Methodist Church. Have you ever seen Park Hill? Any of you have ever been over there? I swore I'd been in there, and I walked in the sanctuary, and it was not at all what I remembered. I don't know what happened. I'm totally confused now. That's nothing new, but we go far from there. So I went in, and it was interesting to be in the sanctuary. I didn't know anybody. Nobody knew me. Melissa and I just sat there, and we're just anonymous pew people, and it was wonderful. And I was just having a great time until we were accosted. We were accosted right there in Park Hill. The pastor, Angie I wrote her name down because I knew I'd get it screwed up. Kotzmoyer. Do you know her, Melba? So I could call Shelley, do you know her? Where'd Shelley go? She slipped out somewhere. New to our conference, apparently. Angie Kotzmoyer, the associate over there. She accosted us. I'm sure she wrote the whole sermon aimed just at me, even though she didn't know me and didn't know I was going to be there and wasn't aware who I was. She says, there's no time to not be about God's work. I'm on vacation. I said, I didn't want to hear that. This is a day of comfort. I want to take a break. And besides that, my knee is killing me, and I want to just kind of lay back and give it a little bit of a break and take it easy. There is no time to not be agents of God's hospitality, of God's love, of God's justice, of God's care. They have a family that's been living with them over a year that they're offering refuge to. If they are in public, they can be arrested, but in Park Hill, they have sanctuary. And so that family has been living there for a year. I don't know all of the story. Apparently they do, and they have loved the family, and the family has loved them back. But there are things that need worked on. We knew that. But Angie pointed out, she said, there's no rest. There's no time when we can just sit back and say, ah, I'm on vacation. There are storms in our country, storms in the government, storms in the world. Somebody said that. I decided to ignore Pastor Angie. I wanted to be on vacation. I wanted to take a break. But I came back to work last Monday. If things were in great order, Paya and Hiromi and especially Noah had kept things in the office in very good shape. And I started working on the sermon for today, and I poked up the lectionary, and there was that lectionary that Nalu read for us this morning, Lamentations. I've been calling it Laminations. I don't know how I got that messed up. Lamentations 3, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. Ah, I was loving that. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. Yaman. Yaman, comfort. I'm liking that. Let's just kick back with Lamentations. It's a beautiful day. A beautiful, easy, fun, light sermon. And I got to the gospel lesson. That was a fun gospel. Neo did a good job reading it there. The story of this young girl, this 12-year-old girl who has died, the son of Jairus. And this woman with a hemorrhage, 12 years she's been having this hemorrhage, 12. 12, 12, 12, 12 disciples, 12 tribes, 12. It's a very Jewish number. It's one of those pivotal numbers about symbolically remembering everything. So the woman with 12 years, one child 12 years old, that 12 fits in there. But it's a lovely, heartwarming story. Jesus, they think she's dead, and Jesus restores her, give her something to eat. She's been mostly dead all day. Sorry, that's an allusion to another movie. Yeah, hush. If you haven't seen Princess Bride, do so. But anyway, it's a lovely story. She's restored. But you know, what is it with these people that write these stories? And they're telling you the story. Here's the story about the little girl who's sick. Jesus is on her way. And it gets interrupted. What is that? Do you see that in TV shows too? They'll be telling you a plot, and then all of a sudden they'll jump somewhere else, and you say, but wait, I want to finish what we were in the middle of. What are you doing, interjecting something in the middle of? It just disrupts my train of thought. And I'm not as multifaceted and able to switch gears as easily as some people, I guess. But this woman comes up and touches Jesus in the crowd. Have you ever been in a crowd like that? Everybody's pushing in on you, and it's like you're all family all of a sudden. 10,000 complete strangers, and you're just hoof to tail, you know. And you're packed in, and you bump into people, and you're constantly saying, oh, excuse me, sorry, I'm not trying to be fresh or anything. I'm sorry, bump, oh, excuse me. And so he tells the disciples, somebody touched me. And they're like, yes, Jesus, we know somebody touched you. It's a crowd. We can't control the crowd. They're all pushing in on you. He says, no, 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 something else happened here. Someone, I felt power go out from me. And so that's a wonderful story. She's healed as well. Lovely stories, aren't they? So we can stick with comfort and we can say, isn't that a nice healing story, and be done with that. But there are some things in there that begin to gnaw at you. You see, the little girl who is sick, she is the daughter of Jairus. He's an official, the leader of the synagogue. That makes him one of Jesus' sworn enemies. You realize that they have sworn that they're going to persecute Jesus. They're going to get rid of him. He's disrupting the system. He is doing things that they don't approve of. And they are the authority, the chief priests, the Sadducees, the leaders of the synagogue. They are all against him. Nicodemus, when he comes, he's a leader, but he has to come by night in secret. So here's this Jairus. And he goes to Jesus and he said, my little girl. Which of us would not, regardless of political differences, of differences of ideology, which of us would not do everything we could for our children? And we did. And he does. He goes to her. And Jesus agrees. And then they say, messengers come and they say, it's too late. She's died. Don't bother the teacher anymore. She's already passed. She's dead. It's over. And they have professional mourners that are out there wailing and crying. In that day and age, when somebody died, you had people that would come and do that for a fee. They would wail and make a scene. You know, it was part of the ambiance of the event of death. So you had professional mourners. And he says, quit this, quit this. But then Jesus broke the law, you understand. Yeah. You remember the story of the Good Samaritan. There's man falls among robbers, and the robbers beat him and take all of his possessions, take all of his clothes, and leave him unconscious, lying in the side of the road in the ditch there. And along comes a priest. And he sees this body lying in the side of the road, and he knows the law. The Levitican law says you cannot approach a dead body, because if you do, you'll become unclean. So do not do this. You cannot approach a dead body. So the priest changes and goes around, goes to the other side of the road. And a Levite, who is another worker in the temple, he goes around. And it's this Samaritan, this outcast, this foreigner that is the one that takes the man in and helps him get healed. That's what's going on there. You can't approach a dead body. So they come and they tell Jesus, and Jairus, the girl's dead. There's no way Jesus can go. It's against the laws for him to go to this girl. And he does. Raise up, little girl. And she does, and they see, he says, feed her. She's been mostly dead all day. She needs to eat. And this isn't just a symbolic life. This is real. Real people need real food. Give her some food. And then we turn to the woman. This woman who's been hemorrhaging for 12 years. Gals, I hate to tell you, but in the Old Testament and in strict Levitican law, once a month you were unclean. And you had to separate yourself away and lock yourself away because you couldn't be around anyone. You'd make everyone else unclean because you're unclean, because it's that time of month. And if you happened to be out or people were approaching you and they weren't aware, you had to yell, unclean, unclean, so they didn't inadvertently come near you and touch you and become contaminated by your uncleanness. I'm glad such things don't exist today, or that we don't pursue them. But think about what that meant for the woman who had been bleeding for 12 years. For 12 years, she couldn't be around people. For 12 years, she had to yell unclean. For 12 years, she was an outcast. For 12 years, people judged her that God must really not like her because she is unclean continually. That was that age when people were blamed for being sick. God must be punishing them. We don't buy that anymore. Jesus unpacked that. Who sinned, this man or his parents? He said, neither. But here's this woman who's been an outcast. She can't have lived within the city. She can't have associated with the people for 12 years. She is a person non grata. An unclean one, like a leper. And she touches Jesus' cloak. Doesn't even touch him, but his cloak. And he knows it. And he doesn't reject her and yell, "Unclean, get away from me. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed." Oh, my goodness. The whole temple aristocracy must have been just throwing their hands up in complete disarray. You can't do this. You can't be around someone unclean. You can't do this, these things. This woman is a pariah. She's an untouchable. So Jesus broke the law to... She breaks the law to approach Jesus. And Jesus heals her. So these two stories about comfort all of a sudden become stories of outcasts, about people who are on the outside, who have been judged and who have been separated out and who have been rejected, and that Jesus does not reject them. The little girl that was dead, Jesus does not hesitate to break the law to go to her. The woman healed of her hemorrhage. Is our faith strong enough to disobey some laws? Jesus' was. This weekend is the 4th of July weekend in the church, where this is our Independence Sunday celebration. I assume that's why the ice cream social, that's, you know, and some of us are wearing patriotic stuff. Sandy Tinney didn't get the note. She's not wearing anything patriotic at all. 4th of July, think about that. The 4th of July, put yourself back there. This is Independence Hall in Philadelphia. This was back in 1776. And to quote the musical, "It's hot as hell in Philadelphia." And they had the windows open, just hoping for the slightest breeze to try and cool them off. There was no air conditioning in those days. But the flies were wicked bad. And they said, "Close the windows, there's too many flies." No, say that it's too hot. Open the windows, close the windows. Sounds like Congress, doesn't it? But there they were in the midst of this. They'd been after this for months and months and trying to make a resolution. Come together, because it had to be unanimous. And they had to agree together to this decision to become traitors together. That's what they were doing. They were signing their name on that paper that was proof that they were committing treachery for the nation Britain. "We are rebelling against you." And John Hancock gets right in there with big old John Hancock, and he signs his name. And they all did. They signed their name. This was their death warrant if Britain put down this revolution. We think about the founding fathers and yay, hooray, and set off fireworks, but they broke some serious laws. They took some serious chances. They risked. And what did the kids say this morning? They risked for freedom and liberty and justice for all. What does the lady say? "Bring me your tired, your worn. Bring us all together. Welcome and come together." Lady Liberty comes along quite a bit later. It's the French. I have the man's name, but I've forgotten it now. Anyway, this Frenchman helps design Lady Liberty. And then they had to build it. And it was a struggle because they didn't have any money. And nobody would put up the money. And so they made an appeal to the nation. And I think they said 75% of all the money raised came from people that gave less than a dollar. Kids that would go out and earn money mowing lawns, or I guess you didn't mow lawns in that day and age, did you? But doing chores or whatever, people that donated their milk money, a dollar, 50 cents, 75 cents, and they raised enough money, and they had the Mother of Exiles erected in the bay. So happy 4th of July. We celebrate it now. It unnerves me that we celebrate it by exploding things in the sky, but they're certainly pretty. But here we are celebrating this act of rebellion of the Continental Congress. You know, they had to fight the whole war. This was just their declaration of independence. This is just when they finally said, okay, we've had enough. From here on out, we're going to fight about it. And that's when the battle, the Revolutionary War began. It was just the beginning and the determination of what was right and what was incorrect thing to do. And I hope you heard me talking to the kids about immigrants. I hope they ask their parents some questions. Well, what is our heritage? Where do we come from? Freitag is German. Montag, Nutzwag, Mittwoch, Donnerstag, Freitag. Those are the days of the week. Right out of the German. I'm sorry I messed that up, Marianne. It was terrible. I know she speaks fluent German, and I don't. Should better. I know more Spanish than I do German. Isn't that funny? But as we think about our heritage and a wonderful blend of who we are, we acknowledged that at our church conference a couple of weeks ago. This district that we're a part of with Reverend Paul Kottke is the most colorful and diverse and beautiful of all of the districts in our conference. We have such diversity, and that diversity brings so much to us. And with it, it brings liberty and justice for all. Because we've become a people that have come from different places, but we are welded together, one another under God. A nation under God, welded together. In comfort over our righteousness and the justice that's here. In the midst of the storms that are around us, we need to continue to be those people. And we need to ask some questions about laws and obeying laws and disobeying laws and whose laws and which ones. Miss Angie, Reverend Angie at Park Hill. There is no time when we are not about God's work. And we are in the midst of that as we think about laws and whose laws we listen to. And is it laws of humanity or laws of the Lord that we listen to? Laws of the heart, laws of compassion, laws of righteousness, laws of justice. So we have work to do. There is much storm going on, but there are people admitting that righteousness, justice has to be. So those are the laws we will obey, the Lord's laws. The Lord's laws that gather us together. I heard somewhere in the last 2 weeks that faith in Christ is never misplaced. It was one of the sermons you preached. Faith in Christ is never misplaced. And if we keep that and maintain that, all is well and will be. And then we can turn to God and say, thank you, Lord, bless us and bless this nation. Amen.